From history of the budget process to detail about the ongoing conflict in Washington, from charts explaining where every federal dollar goes to simple explanations of budget terminology, A People's Guide to the Federal Budget, a new book from National Priorities Project, covers it all in a way that hopefully everyone can understand. A People's Guide to the Federal Budget is having a launch party at the Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley tonight at 7 o'clock, and it's a great pleasure to welcome the Executive Director of the National Priorities Project, Joe Comerford, to the program. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Joe. Thanks for having me on.
It's a great pleasure to have you on. Before we talk about the book specifically, let us talk about the National Priorities Project. How did you come to be?
Well, we've been around for nearly 30 years. We're a federal budget research organization, and we're nonprofit, nonpartisan. And our job really is to crack open the federal budget and make it accessible to people in local communities so that all of us really can feel like we have a meaningful stake in how our nation both raises money and spends it.
What are the challenges in doing that?
Actually, at the root of why we decided to produce a People's Guide. So the first major challenge is, of course, that the federal budget is really complex. It's an enormous document. It's created by many agencies weighing in with the Office of Management and Budget and the current administration in the White House. And it's, you know, thousands of lines of information. So it's very difficult to decipher. And that would be so regardless of the political climate. But then if you layer on top of that the current situation in Washington and the many, many twists and turns that are happening because of the political lockdown, it makes it nearly impossible for you and I to follow. And NPP believes that our democracy actually will languish unless all people feel like we can have a voice in how our nation legislates on our behalf. And we feel like the federal budget is actually the nexus, if you will, the center. And it's not really just because we're a federal budget research organization, but because, in fact, it's the way that our country expresses our priorities, our values. Barbara Lee calls it a moral document, the federal budget, and she says that it's really the intersection of how people express in numbers what they value most.
The National Priorities Project is located in Northampton, Massachusetts, and it seems when you have a name like National Priorities Project and your job is to look at the federal budget and, as you say, bringing the federal budget home, that you should be in some vaulted building along the Potomac that's beautifully carpeted, as opposed to being in Northampton, Massachusetts.
You know, many people actually think that we're located in Washington, D.C., and indeed, you know, our colleagues get there a fair bit, and we get to other cities across the country. And, you know, sometimes, quite frankly, I think that it would be useful for us to have a staff member or two in Washington. But what's really tremendous about National Priorities Project, and our founder, Greg Speeder, probably saw this as he located NPP in Northampton, what's really tremendous is that because we're located outside the Beltway, we see first the vantage point of really ordinary folks in local communities trying to make sense of this big document and the impact that it has on their everyday lives. So we see the world through their eyes, not through the eyes of Congress or more of an inside the Beltway mind frame. And therefore, we're able, I think, to show up in the struggles of everyday people and really become an ally for women, men, young people across the country as they come to us in greater numbers seeking answers to really complex questions like, how did we get here as a nation? How are we going to get out of it? And am I going to be okay tomorrow? Is my mom going to be okay tomorrow? And so I actually love that we're in Northampton. I also love that we hit the road. Our staff is really dogged. So we get out, we accept a lot of invitations, not as many as we'd like, but we, meaning accept them. We want to accept more and get out on the road more. And we also hit the waves, the airwaves, virtually by doing these online webinars and video budget briefs and things like that so that we can hopefully show up more intimately through a virtual sector as well.
The name of the book, as I mentioned, is A People's Guide to the Federal Budget. two very interesting chapters in the book where you cover something that gets to the key to all of this, I guess, which is where does the money come from and where does it go?
Indeed. You know, and the key to the where the money comes from question is that you and I and your listeners right now are the nation's major bill payers. That's just true. We sometimes lose sight of that, but through our federal income taxes and our payroll tax contributions, we contribute to both the federal fund, which pays for a lot of things we think of when we think of energy policy or affordable housing or community health care, and then our payroll taxes pay into earned benefits like Social Security. And so it's one of the things I think we lose sight of. And the other thing that we lose sight of, because it's hard to see the federal budget at work, is where the money goes. And it comes back to us as individuals in the form of things like unemployment insurance and individual benefits like Head Start. And then it comes back to our state budgets. We actually have this this series out called Primary Stakes that looks at the impact of federal spending on, say, for example, the Massachusetts budget. And it is profound, and it has been for some time, meaning that our states help balance their books or determine actually in this time of deficit how many programs they'll need to pull back or cut based on the amount of federal funds able to come into the coffers. So it is a profound cycle. And again, it's a cycle that we pay for, it's a cycle that we benefit from, and we should have a say in how it gets legislated.
I find it interesting. I literally had a chill the other day because I was reading the news about once again a bank having some issues and there was money that was lost and they threw out a figure of $2 billion. My initial reaction was, oh, that's not much. And what is fascinating about that is that we now have reached sort of a monopoly money kind of phase with the numbers that we throw out. And you have to stop and think about, good Lord, that's a lot of money.
Indeed.
It's hard to put it in context, isn't it?
It is. And you're quite right. You know, the numbers game is very difficult. I have a colleague here, Chris Hellman, and, you know, he's fond of saying that, you know, what is $1 trillion? Well, if you earned $1 million a year, it would take you 1 million years to earn $1 trillion. And the budgets that we're talking about, for example, the proposed fiscal year 2013 budget blueprint put forward by the Obama administration is $3.67 trillion. For proposed to spend in new authorizations for the coming year, for the 2013 fiscal year, which is supposed to start on October 1st. And it is hard to figure out, how big is that? And what does it mean to me? And you're right that it needs context. So, for example, you know, when we're talking every day about $3.67 trillion, $2 billion, which is far less, a fraction of that, doesn't seem like a lot of money. And then a job like, you know, a job for a National Priorities Project would be to do just as you say, help people understand, so what does $2 billion mean? What could it have meant for my state if it were directed there? What could it have meant for my city? My Lord, you know, city, it would be an extraordinary impact on a city. And how could I have a voice in helping shape some policies that would help perhaps tighten financial regulations or the direction of that money?
You mentioned the president's 2013 budget request. I have to give you credit because you have pie charts in the book, and I understand them. So that I congratulate you on that. Well, it's very readable.
Well, I'm so glad. And, you know, for that, I really want to give a big, strong nod to my colleague, Mattia Kramer. She is really a tremendous, tremendous wordsmith. She wrote herd, as I like to say, on this book. She is the lead author. She's joined by just a tremendous team here at National Priorities of staff. And, of course, as we mentioned, as we were talking about earlier before we got on the show, you know, interns. So at NPP, you know, we all get in the boat and row, and we row hard for the American public. And Mattia was a terrific captain of that boat. And our job is to make it accessible, which is why we brought in, you know, Tom Pappalardo and his, you know, and his wonderful cartoons, which is why we asked Barbara Ehrenreich, who is, you know, so well known for her human portrayal of individual struggles. You know, we asked her to write the foreword, and Josh Silver, who is also, you know, a tremendous local, he's a neighbor of mine, but he's a tremendous local star. He's now the ED of United Republic, to write the afterword. You know, so we wanted Barbara to lead with a human story, and we wanted Josh to call us to action. You know, and one of the other things that we say at NPP is that the only thing stronger than money in politics is the spirit, is the will, is the bite, if you will, of an informed and active electorate. And we believe that we are one of the folks, the organizations in the nation that have to show up for a people, for an electorate that wants to be more active, especially in this high-stakes budget year and especially in this election year.
The name of the book is A People's Guide to the Federal Budget. It is written by Mattia Kramer and National Priorities Project. Joe Comerford is the executive director of NPP. A reminder that there will be a book launch party tonight at 7 o'clock at the Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley, Massachusetts. Again, 7 o'clock tonight at the Odyssey Bookshop, and you can find out more information by going to odysseybks.com. Joe Comerford, it's a great pleasure to have you on the program. I wish you all the luck in the world with the book, and have fun tonight, and give our best to Joan and the crew, and enjoy yourself.
Oh, thank you so much, Joe. And if folks want to get on our website, it's nationalpriorities.org, and you'll see the People's Guide right there. And one thing that you might be interested in is that we are very happy if you follow the links on the site to hand deliver a book to Congress. We'll be there in the fall hand delivering these sent by people across the country to members of Congress. We'll also send it to your local library. We'll send it to your local public high school. And in addition to this book, we've created an educator toolkit so that if you're interested in helping make this book have some more ripples, we're right there to do it with you.
You can find out about all of that by going to nationalpriorities.org. Again, the book launches tonight at 7 o'clock at the Odyssey Bookshop. Joe Comerford, a great pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe. Be well.
A delight. Thank you. Again, you can find out more information about the book event by going to odysseybks.com or go to nationalpriorities.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.